On this episode of Newt's World,
we want to be where we were 7 months ago. And next year will be one of the best and greatest years in the history of our country. That's what's happening economically, and that's going to lead to other things. This election is a choice between a Trump recovery and a Biden depression. He gets in, they're going to quadruple your taxes.
Well, guess what? First thing I do is going to repeal this Trump tax cut. Oh, not a joke.
You've said you would repeal all of Trump's tax cuts. But do you mean just for the wealthy or for the middle class too? Because Trump did give the middle class a tax cut.
Guess what? If you elect me, I'm not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut.
Would you support a carbon tax? Some other candidates said they would.
Yeah, no, I would. No, I would raise billions of dollars, raise the corporate tax rate from 20 to 28%.
Well, the truth is that Joe Biden, even though he's portrayed as a moderate, is offering the most expensive Democratic tax plan that we've seen from any Democratic candidate in recent history.
Would you bring back the individual mandate?
Yes, I bring back the individual mandate.
These types of tax increases, a 10% increase in revenue, it would dramatically change the economy, halting the economic progress that we're currently seeing.
And the first thing I would do as president was eliminate the president's tax cut.
That's why I'm going to double the capital gains rate to 40%.
Even Carter cut the capital gains tax. Even Clinton cut the capital gains tax. The Democratic Party's gone hooey on this, and they're declaring war on people's life savings.
Guess what? If you elect me, I'm not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut.
Hi, this is Newt. Due to the virus, I'm recording from home, so you may notice a difference in audio quality. I want to take this time for you to understand the very distinct choice we have for the economy, especially in the midst of COVID-19. Trump's recovery or Biden's depression. The economic comeback after the devastation of COVID-19 requires a leader with a strong economic record that will affect the economy in ways we, everyday Americans, can see and benefit from. Biden's economic plan, or should I say depression, will bring you higher taxes, an additional countrywide economic shutdown, less job opportunity, and an increased racial unemployment gap. Trump's recovery will bring you a booming stock market, low unemployment rate, job growth, and even lower gas prices. I think in some ways the biggest immediate effect of the choice we're going to make on Election Day is between the Trump recovery and the Biden depression. Now, you may think that's strong language, but let me explain why I think it's accurate and real. The fact is that we had a remarkable period of economic growth, and we had, as a result, people going to work, coming out of the woodwork. The Trump recovery was so strong that it was getting people who hadn't looked for a job for years, who thought it was impossible, to suddenly go out and get work because their friends and their neighbors had jobs. And if you were working in a blue-collar job, your salary was going up every single year, going up actually at a faster rate than at the very top. So that for the first time, we were seeing some significant steps towards easing income inequality.
Another big jobs report, the U.S. economy adding 263,000 jobs in April, the unemployment rate sinking to a 49-year low.
Wow, lowest since 1969.
And the result was that the workforce grew, and even though the workforce was getting bigger, the unemployment numbers kept coming down because there were more jobs being created than there were people looking for work. And so you actually began in some parts of the country to have a significant shortage. By February of this year, because of the Trump policies, we had achieved the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans in history, the lowest unemployment rate for Latinos in history, the lowest unemployment rate for women in, I think, 70 years. All of this was working towards people going back to work, improving their lives, beginning to pursue the American dream once again. And the reasons were policy, that Donald Trump, with all of his years in the business community, with his understanding of what creates jobs, what gets investments, what leads people to start businesses, how to get entrepreneurs excited, all of that had been brought to bear. And for the first time since Ronald Reagan, you had an aggressively pro-entrepreneur president, and that got entrepreneurs excited. Life was fun. They were making money. They were creating jobs.
Throughout the campaign, I promised to renegotiate NAFTA, and today we have kept that promise. I'm thrilled to speak to the American people to share truly historic news for our nation. It's my great honor to announce that we have successfully completed negotiations on a brand new deal to terminate and replace NAFTA with an incredible new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement called USMCA. The agreement will govern nearly $1.2 trillion in trade, which makes it the biggest trade deal in the United States history.
And then Trump followed a very aggressive policy of going after trading partners who had frankly got deals that were way too easy. He started with Canada and Mexico, and people said it was impossible. You can't possibly redo NAFTA. But he did. And in the end, we got a much better deal for American workers, for American farmers, for American companies. He pivoted to our biggest trading partner, China, and began to take on what has been the biggest deficit we've faced. And he's made progress there. And so all of a sudden, you had jobs being created in America that in the past, under the Obama-Biden policies, would have been created in China or in Mexico or somewhere else. Trump also began taking on the European Union, which is the second largest economic bloc if you take it as an entire bloc. China would be almost equal. But the fact is, the Europeans have, again, like everybody else, if the United States is willing to be a sucker, they're willing to take us for a sucker. And so he began to change the terms of the relationship to get a better deal for American agriculture, a better deal for American manufacturing.
Today, thanks to shale, the United States is the world's top natural gas and oil producer.
And then, in what was in some ways the greatest single breakthrough, he aggressively pursued the ability of the new technology of fracking to develop oil fields and gas fields so that we brought down the price of oil, we brought down the price of natural gas, and we became the largest producer in the world. And that had all sorts of second-order effects because suddenly the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the Bahrainis, the United Arab Emirates, they didn't have the leverage that they'd had because they were no longer the center of the world's oil and natural gas industry. The Russians lost money because we were developing so much new oil and new natural gas that they weren't able to have the prices they used to have. The Iranians were further isolated because we could have sanctions and they couldn't threaten our economy. And of course, there were two kinds of growth coming out of oil and natural gas. One, just the industry itself, places like North Dakota, West Texas, parts of Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio. But two, as the price of natural gas in particular came down, the chemical industry began to rebound in America. For years, people thought the chemical industry was all going to go offshore because our natural gas was getting too scarce and too expensive. Now, even foreign companies are coming to the U.S., creating jobs, giving us a sense of a dramatically new and better world.
At least six people have died in an outbreak of the new coronavirus, which has now reached the United States. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has confirmed the first U.S. case has been detected in Washington state. The patient, who is in isolation, recently returned from Wuhan, China.
I have today declared that the coronavirus presents a public health emergency in the United States. The actions we have taken and continue to take complement the work of China and the World Health Organization to contain the outbreak.
All that was up through February. And then with the Chinese virus, COVID-19, the president had to take some very tough decisions, cutting off travel, ultimately closing down a large part of the economy, going to situations that led to social isolation. All of that created additional difficulties. Fortunately, President and the Congress were able to pass a series of bills that helped rescue the economy,
This is a very important day. I'll sign the single biggest economic relief package in American history, and I must say, or any other package, by the way. And this will deliver urgently needed relief to our nation's families, workers, and businesses. And that's what this is all about.
So that unlike the Europeans, who are now wallowing in really long, difficult problems, and I'm talking to you from Italy, and I can tell you, the challenge in Europe, the challenge in Italy, is much greater than the challenge in the United States. And what's happening in the U.S. is we are beginning to see a rebound that is astonishing. I think when the third quarter numbers come out, the economic growth may be the highest it's been outside of World War II in American history. For more on my latest election commentaries, such as op-eds, podcasts, and Newt Live events, please be sure to join my inner circle at newtsinnercircle.com.
Hi, I'm Gianno Caldwell. This week on Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell.
You mentioned Epstein. Do you think that he actually killed himself?
He was a hedonist. He lived for his pleasures.
My guest is Alan Dershowitz, the longtime professor at Harvard Law School.
And the idea that he would be spending the next 30 years of his life in a prison cell with no access to any of his pleasures was too much for him. But I don't think he could have done it alone.
Listen to Out Loud with Gianno Caldwell on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
661,000 jobs created in September. The unemployment rate declined under 8% to 7.9%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
And that's because all of the various Trump policies are coming to bear. And so we didn't end up with the kind of unemployment people projected. It was much lower. It didn't stay as high as people thought it would. It came down much faster. And even as recently as today, the index of small business confidence has jumped again as people look around and go, you know, this may work. Now, interestingly, as further proof of the difference between President Trump's approach, lower taxes, less regulation, more energy production, better trade deals, and the left's approach, the places in the U.S. that aren't recovering very fast, well, they all have liberal Democratic governors. They're all states where they follow the wrong policies. They have high taxes, lots of regulations, big bureaucracy, unions that are destructive. The result is, if you look at where the economy is really starting to boom again, and where we're seeing unemployment really come down, they're almost all red states where, in fact, they're following very Trump-like policies, lowering taxes, less regulation, more activity to encourage the business community. And if you look at where the problems are greatest, there are places like New York, Illinois, Michigan, California, New Jersey, where the liberal Democrats who are in charge are anti-business, anti-jobs, want higher and higher taxes, more and more regulations, and they want bigger and bigger bureaucracies so the bureaucrats can join the public employee unions. This gap between red states and blue states, I should say red states that are rising and blue states that are stuck, that gap is a perfect model to then think about Biden. When George Stephanopoulos asked Vice President Biden, would you raise taxes even if the economy stays weak? And Biden came back and said, I want to raise taxes in January. I don't care what the economy is.
Mr. President, let me press you on that, though.
Sure.
You're going to raise the corporate tax. You're going to raise taxes on the wealthy. Is it wise to do even that when the economy is as weak as it is right now? Another 900,000 people.
That's a great question.
And the reason is he wants the money because he represents the pro-big government, pro-big union, pro-big bureaucracy system. And that system needs every tax dollar it can get, because without it, it's going to collapse. That's why in Illinois, which has had the highest out-migration of any state in the last 10 years, the governor's trying to raise taxes, even though it'll drive even more people to leave the state. Because paying off his public employee union allies is more important to him than having businesses, and particularly small businesses, continue to grow. And so I think the real choice here is pretty stark. It's not like, oh, we're inevitably going to have a pretty good economy. This is a real choice. between economic collapse and depression with Biden and economic growth and recovery with Trump. Now, it's fascinating. I did a podcast a while back with James Grant, who'd written a book on the Depression of 1920-21. That depression was a straight V. Came up here, went straight down, and they recovered straight back up. It happened so fast that the cultural memory never captured it. People didn't go around in the 20s worrying about the Depression of 1920-21. It was just an event. That's the goal President Trump has. Now that we've come down, he's doing everything he can to get us to go right back up in a way which will create jobs, save small businesses, improve your 401ks, get more money for the pension plans, frankly, help save Social Security and Medicare. Because if you have a rapidly growing economy, I proved this when I was Speaker of the House and we balanced the budget for four straight years. By having enough economic growth, you could save Medicare, you can save Social Security, because there's just a lot more money coming in. Not because you're raising taxes, but because you're putting more people to work who are getting better jobs, who have higher incomes, and therefore the taxes they pay go up. But they're going up because their incomes are going up. The opposite of a tax increase depression. Now, what Biden wants to do is virtually everything which has made New York and California and Illinois too expensive. Imagine this. We have two models. They're vivid. They're real. You can check them. This model fails. This model works. Yet when you go and sit on people like Joe Biden, they don't want the model that works. This is the model that creates jobs, leads to small businesses, increases your 401k. And people should look when they think about what President Trump has done for the economy. Look at what it's done for their pension plan. Look what it's done for their savings account. Look what it's done for their 401k. They're all doing better. But it's almost like if you're a true liberal Democrat, you can't think like this. It's against the rules. You can't join the club and favor the policies that work. And so if you have a vice president candidate who's a radical from San Francisco, and you have a presidential candidate who's given in to the left on virtually everything, remember, his campaign theme is he will raise taxes $4 trillion. I mean, he seems to think that's a great offer. Well, it is if you're a government employee union. If you're a government contractor who wants to be there and get money, if you are part of the special interest groups that surround the Democratic Party, you want that $4 trillion. I mean, the fact that it will crush the economy, it'll put us into a very deep recession and potentially a depression. That's why what's at stake is so important. If you think it's important for every American to have a chance to have a job, if you think it's important for local and state governments and the federal government to have enough revenue because everybody's working, everybody's income is going up, everybody has a better future, then the only candidate in this race who has a clue how to get that done is Donald J. Trump. On the other hand, if you don't care that small businesses are crushed as they're being crushed right now, take a look at New York, take a look at California. These liberal Democrats are adopting policies. I think half the restaurants in New York may go out of business because Cuomo doesn't have a clue how a free enterprise system works, doesn't have a clue how small businesses work.
I miss people. I miss smiling. I can't smell the smells of restaurants. I can't hear the clanging dishes and glasses. There's a sound of camaraderie that you get in restaurants. I miss that. I miss seeing our staff members. In the restaurant business, you don't have enough cash flow to get through probably more than a month or two without just running out of money. There's 660,000 restaurants in this country. You don't understand, if you're a typical American, that our industry employs more people than the auto industry and airline industries combined.
You saw from that famous picture of Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco going into the hairdresser without a mask on. But the key thing was, she wasn't supposed to be in there. It was closed by order of the governor. She was breaking the rules twice. Once going to a place she wasn't supposed to be, and two, not wearing a mask while she did it.
Nancy Pelosi is under fire today after a surveillance video shows her at a hair salon getting a blowout and not wearing a face mask.
The optics don't look good. Yeah, no. There needs to be a whole lot of explanation.
It's terrible. Nancy Pelosi is a hypocrite.
I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times. As it turns out, it was a setup. So I take responsibility for falling for a setup.
Well, all of those shutting down, beauty parlors, places where you can get a pedicure or a manicure, local small restaurants, all of those things kill jobs. All of those things make the whole economy weaker. And frankly, between Mayor de Blasio, who's probably the worst mayor in modern times, and Governor Cuomo, I think it may take 10 or 15 years for New York City to recover, even with the Trump presidency. And in a sense, what Biden is offering is Biden wants to do for America what Cuomo's done for New York City. For more on my latest election commentaries, such as op-eds, podcasts, and Newt Live events, please be sure to join my inner circle at newtsinnercircle.com.
The LGBTQ community isn't a movement, it's a cult. Just how culty is the LGBTQ cult? They're coming for the kids. The most insidious war that the far-left LGBTQ cult is fighting right now is the war on childhood. Listen to Rob Smith is Problematic every Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Newt. I want to invite you to sign up for a yearly subscription to my Inner Circle Membership Club. We're in a critical time in our history, where the outcome of the next election will set us on a course of two very different American futures. As a member of my inner circle, you'll receive exclusive invitations to join my video conferences with 2020 election updates and my analysis of the upcoming presidential debates. Here's a special offer for my podcast listeners. Join my inner circle today at newtsinnercircle.com. And if you sign up for a 1 or 2 year membership, you'll receive a limited edition Inner Circle Challenge Coin, exclusive to 500 members only, as part of your membership welcome package. And as an Inner Circle member, you'll receive an invitation to attend my members only event, Live with Newt, a discussion on the next presidential debate. And there are many other benefits of membership. Sign up for a 1 or 2 year membership today at newtsinnercircle.com. That's newtsinnercircle.com. So I just want to take these few minutes and share with you the facts, the data, the reality of what Donald J. Trump accomplished in his first 4 years, and the very real danger that we're going to go back to the Obama-Biden years. Remember, slowest recovery since the Great Depression was the 8 years of Obama and Biden. Remember, they passed a huge bill. It was going to be a stimulus bill, but it didn't stimulate anything. It didn't stimulate anything because they were raising taxes, they were raising regulations, they were imposing government-wide controls on healthcare. The so-called shovel-ready bill, where they were going to have infrastructure, and about 2 years later, President Obama said he didn't realize at the time there were no shovel-ready projects. I can assure you, as a guy who's built a lot of buildings and knows a lot about infrastructure, if Donald Trump decides to pass an infrastructure bill, there will be shovel-ready projects, and they will get to work rapidly, and he will have incentives built into the bill to do it in an inexpensive, efficient, free enterprise model, not a slow, paper-based, overly expensive, traditional bureaucratic model. So I think this is all very serious. And I hope that every American will realize that they should vote as though their job depends on it. They should vote as though their 401k depends on it. They should vote as though their pension depends on it. If they're a small business, they should vote as though their entire business depends on it, because that is what is at stake. A record of success in creating jobs, a record of failure. And so I do think the real choice is going to be a Trump recovery or a Biden depression. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers, and our producer is Garnsey Sloan. Our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Pendley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. Please email me with your questions at gingrich360.com/questions. I'll answer a selection of questions in future episodes. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.